This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.
Callum McSwiggan on FUBAR Radio.
Searching, looking all around for something I still haven't found. World's so heavy, it gets me down. And though I may hurt sometimes, I know I will be alright. So I do what I got to do. Whatever will put me through, I put myself back together. I put myself back together. No, I don't wanna be sad and blue. Even if I'm black and blue, I put myself back together. Cause I am bruised but I'm not broken. Damaged but I'm coping. Holding on and hoping I'll find where I'm going. Bruised but I'm not broken. Took some time to own it. And though I may hurt sometimes, I know I will be alright. Bruised but I'm not broken. Damaged but I'm coping. Holding on and hoping I'll find where I'm going. Bruised but I'm not broken. Took some time to own it.
It took some time, but it's gonna be alright.
Sticks and stones might break my bones. They show me the darkest of the unknown.
Damaged but I'm coping. Holding on and hoping I'll find where I'm going. Bruised but I'm not broken. Took some time to own it. And though I may hurt sometimes, I know we'll be alright. Bruised but I'm not broken. Damaged but I'm coping. Holding on and hoping I'll find where I'm going. Bruised but I'm not broken. Took some time to own it. And though I may hurt sometimes, I know I'll be alright. Bruised but I'm not broken.
It took some time, but it's gonna be.
Bruised but I'm not broken. Bruised but I'm not broken.
Hello and welcome back to the Callum McSwiggan Show. We had a little break last week, but we are back and I am joined in the studio with the absolutely stunning Shiran Dhaliwal. How are you doing?
Hi, I'm good, thank you. Thanks for having me.
It's really, really great to have you, and you're such a little sunshine beam of energy today, which I love. You were just telling me about a little incident you had on the way.
Yes. So I had a great moment. I got a free tea from Pret, which was amazing.
Which is the dream. I've always wanted the free. I hear about the people who get the free things from Pret. I've never been that person.
No,
I'm jealous
never.
Of those people.
I know.
You're that person.
Yeah, well then 45 minutes of bird shat in my hair. So.
It's not the one, is it?
Yeah, I'm still perky. It's
you
fine.
Are. And you're so sunshiny and yellow and happy
I know.
And positive.
I've been told this is my colour, so now I'm just wearing yellow from now on.
For never anything else.
Yeah, never anything else.
Well, that is the FUBAR Radio colours, so you've done well
on
there.
On brand, yes.
Let's talk about you, and let's talk about burnt roti, which I'm so excited to hear about. Just to give me the background on that.
Okay, so it was about 3.5 years ago that I just woke up one day and was like, start a magazine, Sharon. I was like working for an agency I left and then started my own animation agency, and then it was so like underpriced and I was like lying in bed, poor, and just like depressed and just like, what am I going to do? And I just woke up and was like, fuck it, just start a magazine. You've always wanted to. And I just started a crowdfunder and just started talking about it and then started a social media account, and suddenly a magazine was created.
That's insane. And what I love about that is that you were just like, let's just start it. Let's just go. Because I feel like that's one of the things, like, that's the kind of thing I would tell all my friends. Oh, I'm going to start a magazine. I'm going to do it one day. You know, I'll get around to it. And then you just never do.
Yeah,
I love that you just woke up and like, no, we're doing this. It is happening. It must have been quite daunting, though.
It was. Well, it wasn't until I realised what I'd done.
Sure. You're like, oh, fuck. I've got a magazine now. I've got a magazine to run.
Exactly. I was like, oh, this will be fun. And then I started it. And I was like, this isn't fun. Because I do it on my own. Like 3.5 years later, I still do it on my own.
That's insane.
I know. And it's because it's a non-profit. I can't pay anyone. I don't get funding. So I just continue it on my own.
Yeah.
But it's loads of fun. So the magazine's for South Asians to give them a platform. So a lot of it's South Asian creatives.
Yeah.
So we do loads of events where we like collaborate with institutes like V&A and Tate and Genesis Cinema, one that's coming up. And then we have an annual print issue. And then just online, we're constantly just... I think shoving shit out there.
It's such an important thing, you know, because we talk about, you know, like championing representation things all the time. But I think often when we have these conversations, there are a couple of groups that we tend to include all the time and always talk about, we must include these groups.
Yeah.
And then there are other groups of people who are just completely forgotten about all the time.
Yeah.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but I would say that South Asians are probably one of those groups.
Yeah, well, I think within that group, it's the Muslim minority.
Sure.
So they are either ignored or they're considered hostile.
Yes.
So there's no like positive narrative that comes with them. And that was one of the things I really wanted to work on with Burnt Radeed, to be like, they are like nuanced, interesting, amazing, creative, beautiful people. Like, don't assume that they are just what the media tells you or whatever, you know. So that's a lot of what we're working towards, I guess, as well. So,
And that is so important, because we do have all this, so much, and it's everywhere, you know. It's in the magazines we read, it's in, you know, articles and things we read online, it's in movies, and it's so... It can be so toxic.
It is.
So much of the time. So I think we need more of what you're doing.
Exactly, yeah. And the good thing is, like, loads of independent magazines have come out, like, for, like, Muslim women, for, like, the Middle East, North Africa. There's so many great things out there that are now, like, directly trying to make change.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so nice to see that.
Yeah.
It's so nice to see it flourish. Because I think independent work, like magazines or organizations, are the ones that are doing all the work. Because a lot of people look at, like, media channels like the BBC and think that's, you know, the end all, like, that's the voice.
Yeah.
And it's not. Like, they tend to be quite far right now. So a lot of independent people are just really working hard to challenge that and be like, that isn't the only voice. There's all these voices as well.
It's
nice to see.
It is really nice to see.
Yeah.
But I wish some of those people at the top were doing a better job. You know, and there are some big organisations that are doing great things. But, like, you're so right. I do think it is like these, you know, independent people, independent publications that are really making a difference and championing that.
Like, a big example is Galdem. So they've become huge now.
Yeah.
They started independently. They supported Burton Ritchie a lot when we started. And I keep saying we, and it's just me. When we started, you know, all the invisible people standing around me right now. And now they're huge. They're amazing. They're making so much change. And I just love to see that. And it really shows what independent work can do.
Yeah. I think where you can really make a difference as well in this world is kind of talking about intersectional minorities.
Yeah.
So obviously I want to get onto LGBT+.
Mm.
But there's one campaign, I don't know if you saw recently, it was Michelle Ellman and Linda Blacker worked on a campaign which was championing plus size Asians.
Oh, yes, I saw that.
Absolutely beautiful photo shoot.
Oh, it was gorgeous.
And I think it's something we don't think about very often. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, we think about Asian representation and we think about plus size representation, but we don't think about those intersections where those two things meet. And I think seeing that is so special. And I want to see more of that.
Exactly. Yeah. And there's loads of things like that as well. When we're talking about intersectionality, like, for example, the biggest one in South Asian cultures is colorism. And so we see a lot of light-skinned people out there that are the focus of South Asians. And whether that's, like, in the media, like Bollywood or whatever,
mm-hmm.
it's also in the media in Britain and America and Canada and everywhere else, it tends to be light-skinned people. So a lot of the conversations we have now are about colorism and getting people with dark skin out there and getting their voices out there and stuff like that. So there's a lot there that needs to be looked at, because, like you say, in when you're looking at intersectionality, there's so many things. Like, you know, there's plus size, but there's colorism, there's LGBTQ+, there's so many things that people aren't discussing.
And that's what I wanted to get onto next, because I know you do use your magazine and your platform as a whole to talk particularly about LGBT+ issues. So how did that begin?
So what happened is I actually came out a year and a bit ago.
Okay.
And I came out in an article in my magazine.
That you wrote in 20 minutes, I understand.
Yeah.
who does that? I would be there for weeks, like, slaving over this thing. Like, it has to be perfect.
Oh,
you're like, you know what? Just done.
There we go. No, okay. But, like, it was written in 20 minutes. So then there was, like, hours afterwards of me just hovering over a submit, just being like,
Trying to build that.
Yeah.
And was that coming out to the whole world?
That was coming out to everyone.
So you hadn't told friends, family?
Well, I sometimes got drunk and like whispered to some friends, like, I'm bisexual.
And they're like, sorry, what?
And
like,
yeah, then we're all drunk. So the next day they don't remember. And I'm like, okay, good.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. So I used to do that a lot. But there were a couple of, I mean, there's a couple of like girls and non-binary people that knew, I guess.
Sure.
From like, you know, experiences I had with them. Like, they must have known. But like, it wasn't anything I discussed. I never talked to family about it. Never really talked to friends about it. And then, so yeah, I wrote the article and just kind of threw my laptop and my phone across the room and hid for a while.
Gosh, must have been scary. I wish it wasn't scary, but it must have been scary.
Yeah, it was scary. And I think the reason I threw my laptop and my phone across the room was because I was scared. But it was just amazing when I opened my laptop and my phone. And it was just like, oh my God, like, thank you. Like, I got so many thank yous. I was like, oh, right. You're welcome.
That's so lovely.
Yeah, it was phenomenal. And that feeling I had, that was such an overwhelming feeling of love that I had that I didn't expect.
Yeah.
Because I was sitting in fear. Now, I still had that a bit because I was still waiting for Mum's phone call.
Yes.
And I was like, is she going to read this? Like, I wasn't going to contact her. But she has some, I don't know, how do we put this? Spies.
Right, okay.
Go on my social channels and go on my magazine. It's like, Sharon's been doing this. And she's just like, what? And then calls me, what have you been doing? Like, nothing. So it took her, like, I don't know, 5 days, I think.
Okay.
And then she called me, and she called me to talk about my nephew. She was like, are you going to go over and see Omar soon? And I was like, oh, yeah. Like, nervously, like, are you going to say it? And then suddenly she goes, oh, my friend read something on your magazine. I was like, oh, shit, here it is.
Here we go.
Sweating heavily, like, oh, God. And she was just like, oh, something about gay stuff. Like, I don't really understand. So I was like, oh, fuck, okay, I better say it. So I was like, yeah, I came out as bisexual. She was like, huh? Like,
sure.
What? So I had to kind of explain that to her, but I didn't explain it well. I was so nervous, and I wasn't sure that explaining it would do anything.
Sure.
So I half-assed an explanation. And she was like, oh, you seem confused. And I was like, no, I was.
I'm not anymore. That's the point. Now we're okay.
And so, like, our conversations since have been kind of quite dismissive of it. And I guess she lives in that 50%. Like, in her head, there's 50% that there'll be a man that I'll marry.
Sure, okay.
Whereas she doesn't realise that I do hate men. I'm unfortunately sexually attracted to them.
Yeah.
But I just don't like them. Yeah. They're very annoying.
I feel that. So with your mom, and forgive my ignorance on this, she's from a South Asian background.
Yeah.
And do you think that's part of her, the reason why she misunderstands?
Yes. So growing up, like, she would use terminology like lesbian as a slur.
Okay.
And like gay as a slur. And sure. I remember, like, every now and then I would, with my own internalized homophobia, I would like say to mom, my brother is gay, by like trying to harm her by saying that. And then she would get really angry with me and fight me about it. And I was just like, well, so what if he is? And, you know, he's not. He's married with a kid and happily and incredibly straight. But I could tell it from, like, early on. I could tell that there was that there. And it is. It is a massive thing in South Asian community. So one thing that my magazine's doing is next year we're doing Pride in Middlesex. So in the areas I grew up in, like Hounslow, Southall, Feltham, Hayes, all of those areas, to kind of like deconstruct these negative narratives around sexuality that a lot of those communities have. And around those areas, there are a lot of South Asian communities. So it's one of those things that we are really focused on right now as Burnt Ridge. We really want to focus on deconstructing that, because it took me this long to come out because I lived there. and I lived around that.
Yeah, that's incredible.
And I hear loads of stories from people that say the same thing. It's like, I grew up in Hounslow, I still haven't come out. And I was like, no, take your time, babe. Like, don't worry about it. Like, but I get it. I get it.
Yeah, absolutely. I sometimes think about, you know, the little town that I grew up in. Mm-hmm. And I often think, oh, the world's come along such a long way. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, actually, I live in a big accepting city. And, yeah. You know, maybe things haven't progressed as much as I think that they
exactly.
have back in that place. And I think a lot of people can relate to that. And,
yeah.
you know, thinking about those people. So I think that's amazing what you're doing. That's such a special, special thing.
Yeah, it's going to be so much fun. Yeah. I just had some meetings with some councils and with some parks and...
Those complicated things, they always go straight over my head. I forget about all that stuff.
Realize I have to make this up as I go along. I don't know how to put on a pride festival.
Absolutely.
Just like, I guess I need a park. I guess I should like talk to some council. Maybe we need to get like the police involved. Like, I'm just like, oh my god.
But I mean, I guess it was the same when you started the magazine.
Exactly.
You were like, I'm just going to do it. You learn these things by doing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I have loads of friends that work on loads of different things. That work on loads of pride events. And stuff, I can just ask them.
Yeah,
Google stuff, like that's what Google's there for, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Also, like this must have been a pretty big deal. You were on the cover of a magazine recently.
I was.
Not your own magazine, a different magazine. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so Attitude magazine did 50 covers for the 50th anniversary of the Stonewall riots and the anniversary, I think it was 25 years or 50 years anniversary of Attitude. And the editor Cliff, I was on a panel with him. I hosted a panel.
I love Cliff. Just putting
like,
out
I absolutely
love
adore
Cliff.
Him. But I hosted a panel with him and a few other people and we just stayed in contact. And then suddenly one day I just get a message from him saying, "Can I have your email address?" I was like, "Yeah.
Sure.
Why?" And then suddenly in my inbox is this massive long message about I want you on the cover of the magazine. I was like, what, me on a cover of, are you insane? And then he was like, oh no, yeah, you're gonna need a kissing partner. And I was like, whoa, this is just becoming like intense. I have no one to kiss. That was the first thing that came in my head. I was like, yeah,
who?
Oh my god, a cover. And then
who?
I was like, who am I gonna kiss? And that's all I could think about.
And
I was
who did you kiss?
So
oh, you've gotten all embarrassed.
What actually happened is so I'm on dating apps, but like really badly on dating apps. And I actually was talking to this girl and I suddenly was like, maybe I should just ask her. And I asked her and she was like, no. I was like, okay, cool.
Incredible. I thought you were about to be like this amazing story that you met on the dating app. She was like, yeah. She's just like, no, I'm not going to go on the cover
like,
of a magazine and kiss you. You absolute insane person. That's amazing, though. I love that you went for that. I like to think that I would have done the same thing. Mm. Probably wouldn't have had the balls, but... Mm.
Well, it had gotten to that stage.
Yeah,
because
sure.
I was just like, there's no one in my life to kiss at the moment. Like, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
So I follow this comedian, Sophie Duker, on Twitter.
Yeah.
And, like, she's an amazing comedian, and we've, like, just been aware of each other. And one of my best friends is, like, very close friends with her and has directed her Edinburgh show. And so I text my friend, and I was like, so Sophie, she's queer. So I was like, oh, God.
Here we go.
Fucking hell. I was like, so there's a cover. And she was like, I know about this, Sharon. I was like, it's happening in 2 days. And she's, the point I'd gotten to.
Yeah.
And I was just like she's fit, but like I don't know her, so how do I do this? So I ended up asking Simon. Simon was like, let me ask her. And then she was doing a preview of her Edinburgh show. And I was like, oh, I'll come to that and meet her in person for the first time. Because then she went, yeah, sure, whatever. Like, fuck it, that sounds great. Let's do it. I went to meet her and I was like, cool, like, you know, you're really cute and awesome and I really like this. See you tomorrow for some kissing. Like, it was just so, it was so random because she was just so up for it.
Yeah,
she was just like, you know, this sounds amazing. Like, this sounds like so much fun. And we followed each other for a while. We have respect for each other. So it wasn't like creepy Sharon's come along and be like, kiss me. Like, you know? Which I felt like it was. I was like, ugh, like creep, just
that's
like Gollum
amazing.
Going along. Like,
you know what? I'm sure she felt honoured to be asked to kiss you on the front of a magazine.
I should
like,
hope
that,
so.
That is an honour.
Yeah.
It's
right?
A tremendous honour.
Yes, thank you.
I love that story. But what I really love about it is that I feel like you went from your, you know, writing about your you're coming out, telling, mm. you know, telling the world that you're bisexual, mm. and then going from that to being on the cover of a magazine, mm. kissing another woman.
I know.
In such a short space of time.
I know.
That is, like, incredible. Like, what a role model. Like, it's amazing.
Oh,
I love that.
Thank you. Thank you.
No, absolutely. I mean it.
I think it was just, like, it was really unexpected, but I think a lot of it's to do with the fact that I already had contacts in that field.
Yeah.
I already knew people. And so when I came out, people were just so excited about the fact that I was so open about it, and I basically just don't shut up about it, kind of thing. You know, sure. I'm just like, rah, rah, rah. And I'm like, most people must be annoyed, but I think so many people are just like, well, this is refreshing. Like, you know, not that many people, and I guess not that many, like, British Indian girls, I guess, are that open about it. So I think that's why. I think that's why they found it quite refreshing, and people kind of jumped on that.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely. Yeah. It's amazing. Well, it's great to have you here today. We're going to play a game very shortly.
I'm so excited.
But let's have a little bit of music first. So this is a little bit of Sunday.
Says I'm up to no good again. Couldn't make her proud though I did my best. I feel like a mess. I feel like I'm stuck in the wrong skin. I feel like I'm sick, but I'm having trouble swallowing my medicine. Sunday, carry me down to the water, wash me clean. I'm still struggling. Sunday, bury me under the weight of who you need me to be. Can't you see I'm struggling? I keep God locked in a picture frame, so I feel a little better by my number days. Yeah, I confess, the questions and the answers seem to sound the same. I'm just like the rest, standing tall, pretending not to be afraid. Sunday, carry me down to the water. Come around, lift me up again. Never too proud for a helping hand. I've been feeling down. Can you hear me now? Sunday, come around, lift me up again. I'm never too proud for a helping hand. I've been feeling down. Can you hear me now? Sunday.
As if you're not busy enough running your magazine and being on the covers of other magazines and doing all these things, you also have a dating evening.
Yes.
How have you got the time?
So I have insomnia.
Okay, that helps.
That might be why.
So it's called O Queer Cupid.
Yes,
is that right?
Yeah.
Tell us all about it.
Okay, so I'm, like I said earlier, I'm bad on dating apps. I start a conversation with someone and then I think probably within their first reply, I'm like, well, I fucking hate you. Like, straight away, I hate you so much.
I relate. I relate.
I'm like, I can't do this. I can't keep doing this. Like, if I want to have, like, any kind of relationship with anyone, like, I can't start off hating them.
Mm.
So I was like, I need to meet people. Like, I just need to meet them in person. And yeah. Then I can actually, like, build a relationship.
So are you one of those people, sorry to cut you off there, but I just find it really interesting. I hate chatting to people for a million years online. Mm. I'm like, hi, do you want to go on a date? Because I want to meet them as soon as possible. Because I've talked to boys for months before and then met them. And I've been like, I've just wasted months of my time.
Oh my
because
God.
People
yeah,
are different
that's so true. Yeah,
in
that's
real
so
life.
True.
They are.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like people are being fake or pretend. It's just, you can't really get, I don't think you can get a sense of who somebody is without actually meeting them.
100%. I totally agree. But like, I do like, I guess, a couple of days of chat. And then I'm like, let's
meet
up.
Couple of days
let's
is
just,
okay.
Yeah. Let's just make sure you're like fairly normal.
Yeah, sure.
And then let's go on a date.
Yeah, I'm with you.
But like, I'm just really bad at it. So I started looking for speed dating nights. And I was like, there must be some like queer speed date nights out there. Yeah. There must be. And I couldn't find any.
None. Is there none? I've never looked.
There were like specific to like sexuality and gender and things like that. But I wanted it more like, I wanted to go something that was more open and fun because I also wanted to just like make friends as well. Yeah. Like, you know, so I was just like, fuck it. Just here we go again, Sharon.
Another thing I've got to do.
Oh, God.
I'm doing Pride. I'm doing a magazine. Okay, now we're doing speed dating.
Let's
Why
do
not?
This. Fuck it. So, yeah, I just came up with it. I was like, let's just start doing speed dating. And then I came up with the name Oh Queer Cupid. And I was like, well, that's fucking amazing, Sharon. You have to go ahead with it now.
I am incredible.
I was like, wow.
I love it.
Yeah, I just started it. And I there was a venue, the Apple Tree in Clerkenwell, that tweeted me when I was asking about it. And they said, do it at our venue. And I was like, fucking yeah.
Okay.
Oh, my God,
why
venue
not?
Sorted. And I just, sold out the first event, like, almost straight away.
That's
and
insane.
It was amazing. So it's, like, all genders, all sexualities, and it's just about people chatting, having fun, making friends. If you fancy someone, like, brilliant, you know. But I just wanted to build more strength in the community with, like, intersecting genders and sexuality, because when there's so much separation, there can be too many differences and, like, uninformed kind of people, I guess. So I wanted to like join them together and be like, we can all be buddies and then maybe we can fuck as well.
Yeah, like, I love that. I feel like that takes a little bit of the pressure off as well.
Yeah, definitely.
Because I think with like a more traditional speed dating, I'd be like, oh my God, like, this person's attractive. Okay, need to impress them.
Yeah.
30 seconds.
Exactly,
and then
exactly.
I think it's nice to take the pressure off a bit.
Yeah. But like, it's a speed dating and comedy night.
Ooh,
yeah,
comedy so, too.
I know,
just,
right?
Just to overcomplicate things
again. Yeah, just to make it like harder for me.
Do you hate yourself?
I feel like I do. You're making me realize how much I hate myself.
You're doing amazing things. That's all that matters.
But if you ever do need
a break, you know, just treat yourself. Well, that sounds amazing.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of tempted to come along.
Oh my God, you should.
When's the next one?
So the next one is on 3rd of September at the Bread and Roses at the Chapel. So it's gender neutral toilets, wheelchair accessible. We have the whole bar area. And then there's comedians that perform afterwards. So you can like meet everyone, chill with them, have a laugh. And get drunk, because that's what I essentially end up doing.
It sounds so fun. I really want to come to
it's
this. It sounds amazing.
Yeah.
Well, to celebrate everything you're doing, we're going to play a little bit of a game now.
I'm so excited.
And we are going to do like a little FUBAR radio version of like dating.
Okay.
So we're going to have three rounds, and we're going to have to try and convince each other that we are the perfect partner for each other.
Okay.
So in our first round, we each have 30 seconds, and I'm so nervous about this. 30 seconds to pitch ourselves as the perfect date and say why we are the person over anyone else.
Mm-hmm. I'm feeling very confident.
I'm not feeling confident at all. Do you want me to go first or do you want to go first?
You go first.
Oh no! I know it's because you go first.
Yeah, I know that's why.
Okay, I'm going to balls this up, but I'm going to let you compress the button for us to start.
Okay.
Number five there.
Okay.
Whenever you're ready to push it. Oh, fuck. Okay. I am... You know what? I am a very empathic person.
Okay.
I really, really care about other people. So I will be the person that wakes up early to make you breakfast in bed. I will be the person when you're down who, like, really ask you how you're feeling, and like remembers the little things that, you know, make you happy. I'll remember that like really weird, bizarre thing that only you like, and I'll go out of my way to bring it to you to make you happy. Hooray!
The hooray sound it.
I think I did okay.
That was really good. Yeah. That was really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, 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 definitely.
Okay, I really tried.
My heart melted a bit.
I was actually shaking.
Were you?
Well, because I don't know, there might be boys listening. And you know,
there might be. Usually there's none.
Usually zero. It's all females listening in. It's your turn now.
Oh, fuck. Okay. All right.
Are you ready?
No.
Okay. We're going. 3, 2, 1.
I like to mostly chill at home and like drink and cook. I'm really good at cooking. I love making a good curry and I love cooking for other people. So that'd be really nice. I don't really go clubbing that much. I'm more of just like pubs and chilling together and being like, kind of like involved in each other's lives a bit more, and like, you know, getting to know you instead of getting to know a lifestyle. So yeah, that, and hooray.
I think the hooray sold it for me as well. That really worked for me. I think we should both add hooray to our dating profiles.
Oh my God,
online. Yeah.
Shall we? Okay.
I think we'll get a bit more success. That was great.
Okay.
So you love to make a curry?
Yes. Oh my God, yes.
Oh, I love
so curry. Recently I've been doing it a lot more than I used to.
Yeah.
So like I grew up just being like, no, I'm not going to cook because mum's always wanted me to cook for a husband. I'm never going to do it. And eventually I was like, Sharon, you should probably like learn how to cook so you can eat something nice.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
It's nice to eat like good food, Sharon. So I ended up teaching myself.
Oh, that's amazing.
And like in my print magazine, every issue, my mom does a recipe. So okay. I just kind of go, oh, if I want to learn something, I'm like, yeah, it's for the magazine.
I love that. That's so, so cool.
Yeah. So I've learned how to cook so many curries.
Well, I want to date you just for the curries.
Okay, amazing.
Because it's like my favorite food. So sold. Okay, our next round, we are going to ask each other 5 questions of our own choosing.
Mm-hmm.
And let's just see how we fare with that. I'll let you start this time.
Okay.
So do you ask me your 5 questions that I believe you've prepared earlier.
I have prepared.
Okay, I'm ready.
Okay, you ready?
Yes.
Okay. What Netflix show have you recently been obsessed with?
Orange is the New Black. Do you watch it?
I watched 2 seasons. That's it.
Okay, I'm going to tell you now, you have to power through.
Okay.
You have to get to the last episode of season 4.
Oh.
When you do, it will blow your mind and it becomes one of the best shows ever written. But
up to
then, it's kind of like, oh, okay, this is kind of fun and silly.
Yeah.
It gets really serious.
It
goes
dipped.
Really intense. And then, yeah, it fully dips. And then it starts picking up last episode of season 4.
Okay.
And then it gets
amazing. Okay.
But I just finished the last season. I've never been so angry with the ending of a show ever. I can't say anything because I'll spoil it for everyone. But disappointing
See,
ending.
See, this is not making me want to watch it.
No, but like all of it, like last episode of season 4, right up until like the penultimate episode of season 7.
Okay.
Amazing.
Okay.
Just that last episode
just
fucked
that
it up.
One
just
episode.
Ignore that episode.
Oh, I'll just switch it off.
Just switch it off. Done. We're done.
Make up my own ending.
So yeah, Orange is the New Black. But but also because it is so inclusive. You know, I think Netflix are amazing at doing that anyway.
Yeah.
Like all their shows feature LGBT+ characters. Mm. But like Orange is the New Black is so, like, so many incredible women from all different backgrounds.
Absolutely. And it did start a while ago as well.
A long time ago. Yeah,
that's true. I'll give you that.
That's your answer.
Okay. What was the last song you listened to on repeat?
Oh, last song. Oh, you know you're going to judge me for this.
This is not
going to fare well for me. Señorita, Shawn Mendes.
Oh, my God.
I know it's trash, but I love it. I love Sean.
It's a good song. It's a good song.
It's a bit of a bop. It's like a summer bop.
Yeah.
I'll give it that.
But like on repeat.
Yeah, I know. I'm a basic white boy. It's what I do, okay?
I'll give it to you though, because you are right. It is a bop. I'll give it to you. Okay. What subject were you best at in school?
Oh, English.
Oh.
Yeah, particularly literature rather than language.
I love
to read, love to write. English.
Yeah, I think
it's
English
the language I speak.
Was mine as well. It helps.
Yeah.
Okay, what's your go-to drink in a pub?
Oh, tequila orange.
Oh,
I know, it's weird. Everyone thinks I'm really weird and people always like double take when I ask.
I have never heard of that.
It's really good. You have to have a double because you need to be able to taste the tequila.
Okay.
But it's do you drink?
Yes.
Yes.
Excessively.
a lot, in fact. Yes. no, get a tequila orange. They're fantastic.
Okay.
They're fantastic. Yeah. Okay. But have you had a tequila sunrise?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, okay.
It's just that without the grenadine.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good drink.
I like that.
It's a good drink. Okay. Also makes me seem more interesting than I am.
So. Good. Oh, yeah. I might start saying that as well instead of like beer. Okay, last one. Do you agree that mince pies should be replaced with samosas as a Christmas snack?
Absolutely. Yes.
So I'm trying to make this happen. I've been doing this for like a year and a half.
Like, I love this.
I'm like, fucking replace mince pies with samosas. I went to my dad's house. No, I went to my mum's house. Sorry. I think
you're
it was
really
last
passionate
week.
About
I'm
this.
I'm so like, this needs to happen. I went to my dad's house last week. I found some samosas in the freezer. Like, I was drunk. Dad left. And then I was just like, I need food. So I got samosas out the freezer, heated them up. I was like, rah, rah. And halfway through, I was just like, this is fucking mince pie filling, the fucker. He bought samosas with mince pie filling because he knew that I'm trying to campaign to get rid of them.
That is
He's
amazing.
He's like the biggest troll out there.
That
like,
is amazing.
I was just like, fuck you. Yeah.
I love this campaign though. I'm so on board.
Oh yeah, this needs
I
to happen, right?
I love a samosa.
Yeah, exactly. Get rid of fucking mince pies.
Fuck mince pies. Nobody needs
no
them.
No one needs them. Get the samosas in.
Done. Boom.
My God.
Do you want to know something really embarrassing?
Of course, always.
I was like 23 years old before I realized a mimosa is not a type of samosa. I'd see Americans talking about them. I'm like, what is a mimosa?
Oh my God.
And they'd be like, oh, let's get mimosas for breakfast. And I'm like, really?
Oh, I love really? That. I love that.
Yeah, I'm a bit of an idiot. That's what I do.
Oh my God, that's so true. I bet there's so many people out there that had that though, that were just like, oh, mimosas are type.
Well, because we call it Buck's Fizz over
yeah,
here.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, we have our own name
exactly.
for it. So it's very confusing.
I love that. Oh, I'm telling everyone.
Are you ready for your five
oh, yeah,
first
go for it.
Five questions? Okay. What it was your worst date?
Oh, someone that fetishized me for being Indian and kept talking about Bollywood the whole time.
Oh, wow.
Like, nonstop.
Like, how do you keep talking about Bollywood? Like I can...
honestly, I was so baffled. So, firstly, her saying... she texts me this and this was a red flag. I should have just been like, no date. I really want an Indian. And I was like, oh, like the food.
Oh
are you
God.
Hungry?
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's and so bad.
I know. And then went on a date with her anyway, cause like she's fit.
Yeah.
And then like, she was trying to teach me about Bollywood. I was like, bitch, I grew up on Bollywood. How dare you? And she was like, oh, I don't like this actress. And I was like, shut up. This actress is amazing. I got so angry. I was like, what is happening?
So not only did she talk about Bollywood nonstop, but she did it in a way that offended you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
really shit opinions as well.
Really liked like really bad films.
Yeah.
And I
you're like, no, we're not doing this.
Yeah. Yeah, that was bad.
Yeah, fair dues to you.
Yeah. Well, she was American. So. She
okay.
expected it.
Your next one. What is the most embarrassing thing that has happened to you that you're willing to say on radio?
Oh, so
or just
many.
A embarrassing thing. It doesn't have to be the most.
Well, the most recent one. Like, this happens. I say it on Twitter usually when something embarrassing happens. I think it's when I travelled all the way from east to west London with my fly completely undone.
Oh, yeah, that is.
And like, I was wearing like baggy jeans, so they were just like wide open.
I went to a really like really fancy event recently, and my button popped off. My trousers
oh my
on
God.
The way there.
Oh
so
God.
It was like, what do I do? Like, just as I was arriving as well.
Oh my God.
So it's like, what do I do? So I was all evening, I was trying to like pull down my shirt to cover
oh
the fat.
No.
And I'd keep my zip up, but because there was no button at the top, it
kept
just kept
down.
Coming
oh
undone.
No.
And then I remember having like a really important conversation with a really important person. And then like just looking down mid conversation. And like, essentially my penis was just
there. Oh my
there.
God.
Yes, that was fun.
Oh so. My God. Why is your like, so when I said my bird shit story.
I know.
You had a better one. Well, a worse one? I don't know.
Yeah, I'm sorry I keep trying to one up you. I'm very competitive. I won't do it again.
You do it well every time.
Okay, I won't one up you on this next one.
Okay.
Cats or dogs?
And dogs.
Justify.
Dogs because I'm incredibly needy and I need the attention of a dog. I can't deal with the fact that a cat essentially hates me.
And I'm like, no, you have to love me.
Yeah, this is your job.
Yes,
like, I
exactly.
give you food, you give me love. That's the exchange.
Exactly. And last time I was hanging out with a cat, it just completely scratched up my arm. So I was like, fuck you. I'm not dealing with cats anymore. Dogs love me as much as I love them.
Yeah.
That's what I need. I need that vibe.
I completely agree with you. Like, I'm way too insecure to have a cat.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
I don't need another thing in my life to tell me that it doesn't love me.
Exactly.
I've got enough people doing that
already. Exactly. Why would you do that? It's like choosing that. It's, oh my God. Like, I don't understand, honestly.
Okay. Favorite superhero?
Oh, that one's really hard.
It
so
is
I
hard.
Grew up on comic books. So,
ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I would have to go a bit kind of like, oh, I have to be a geek about this, don't I?
Oh, someone no one's ever heard of.
Well, she's in some of the X-Men. So Psylocke in X-Men.
No idea. Tell me about Psylocke.
Psylocke's like the fittest.
Right, so you went for the shallow option. I mean, mine's Spider-Man, so I've done the same thing. Just gone for the one I fancy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Why would you pick anyone else?
Why would I? Oh, Wolverine. Nah. The fittest one, Psylocke.
I love that. I love that. But what does she do?
So she has kinetic powers. She can create a kinetic blade that comes out of her hand that she can just, like, kill people with. She's,
nice.
Like, a ninja assassin and, like, super badass. Like, and a bit kind of evil. Like, she's a hero, but a bit evil as well.
Amazing.
And, like, a couple of times turns a bit evil and has, like, was actually an imposter and the real version came along eventually. Oh, it's just... Oh, It's intense.
She might be my new favourite. She sounds great.
Yeah.
Okay, and the last one, and arguably the most important question of all, hangover food of choice.
Oh, I'm going to be really annoying. A yogurt.
A yogurt?
Yeah, it makes me feel better.
A yogurt?
Yeah.
I understand that it might make you feel better, but, like, surely that's not what you crave. Like, oh, like, I'm so hungover. Like,
when I'm
just
really
get me a yogurt.
No, when I'm really hungover, I can't eat. Like, thinking of eating makes me want to throw up when I'm really hungover. So I need to have something that makes me feel a bit healthier. So I have to have yogurt. And
so
then
yogurt.
I feel, yeah. But, like, usually when I'm, like, with someone, like, say I'm with friends on holiday, they're just like, oh, let's go for a fry-up. And I'm like, oh, yeah, let's go for a fry-up. Like, going to, like, slowly eat.
They do yogurts.
This is lovely. Yeah. My body's, like, aching.
I mean, I understand your reasoning, but I still reject your choice.
Okay, that's fine.
That's where I'm at.
That's fine.
So our last round, party trick. What is your secret party trick?
Okay, so... Because I am, and this is not selling me very well, because I'm incredibly lame, I don't have one, but I used to.
Ooh.
So when I was younger, and I'm not going to do it for you because I'm wearing lipstick, and that just sounds terrible, but it is terrible. I used to put my fist in my mouth.
Your entire
my
fist?
My entire fist.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, but it was like the most ugliest I've ever looked.
I was just checking there if I could do it. I can't.
Yeah, it's a bit weird. But, like, your whole face would contort and then, like, your lipstick goes over, your eyes start watering. You just don't look good.
Like, I love it, though. I think if a boy, like, opened his mouth and put his fist in, I'd be like, you know what? Yeah. Yeah. Second date. Yes, please. You've convinced me. That's
perfect.
All I need.
Well, there you go.
That's all I need. That's amazing.
Yeah.
I love that
party
trick.
I don't think I can do it anymore, but I haven't tried in a very long time.
My party trick is both legs behind my head.
Shut up.
I've done it on this show before, and I know you're probably going to make me. So maybe in the song, I'll show
yes,
you.
Yes, do it.
So yeah, I can do that.
Ah,
that's
fucking
mine.
Hell.
We have to now decide if we want to date each
other.
Oh,
right, okay.
So we're going to have a 3-second countdown.
Okay.
And then we have to say yes or no.
Okay.
To a date. Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
No.
I said it because of dogs. How dare you? A fellow dog lover has just rejected me. I've had way too much rejection this month to have another one happen live on radio.
I'm only rejecting you for the yogurt. Everything else was a win. It was all a win. You were the perfect partner. But I just, you know, I'm a double cheeseburger kind of guy. So
yeah. Okay, fair enough.
Like, if you could change your eating habits, perhaps.
You rejected me. I'm not changing anything for you.
Never change for anyone. That is the lesson here.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, let's have a little bit more music. This is Sweet Spot by Kim Petras.
So baby, don't stop, don't stop. We're getting to the sweet spot, sweet spot. Baby, it's a sure shot, sure shot. We're getting to the sweet spot, sweet spot. I wanna with you, I wanna with you, I wanna with you, I wanna with you. Everybody wants to leave you with somebody. Everybody, everybody. Time and I, we start to dip into the candy.
That was a little bit of Sweet Spot by Kim Petras there. And we do actually have a competition running at the moment to win two tickets to go and see her in her sold-out show in Heaven. So if you want to enter that, just hop on over to the Fubar Radio Instagram, look for the post with Kim Petras, and you can answer there. It's time for our favourite part of the show.
Oh,
we are going to be reacting to our lovely listeners' sex confessions.
Yes.
How do you feel about this?
Oh, I'm just so excited. I cannot wait to judge people. I mean, like, you know, yeah, listen and support.
To give very constructive and helpful advice is what you meant to say there. So thank you so much to everyone who has sent in their confessions. If you want to get involved in future, you can do that by emailing callum@fubarradio.com. And it is completely anonymous. We won't read out your name or anything like that. Should we just dive right in?
Let's do it.
Would you like to read one?
Yeah.
Okay. You can pick one from the list.
I'm going to go for the first one because it's my favourite. If I have an STD, am I a whore?
No. Of course not. No, absolutely not. Like,
and also, what does it mean to be a whore? Like, what does that mean?
I'm completely with you on this. I think these whole ideas around... There's just stigma around STDs. And it was always, I remember in school, and it was always like, oh, that person has an STD because they're a slag.
Yeah.
That's not how STDs
no,
work.
No, absolutely not.
You could have all the sex in the world and never contract one.
And do have all the sex in the world.
And do have all the sex in the world. Like, there's nothing wrong with that.
Exactly. And get an STD and then deal with it and then continue having sex. Yeah. Like, you know, it's fine.
Absolutely fine. There's nothing wrong with
it. Try and stay clean.
Try and stay safe as much as you can. Go for regular checks.
Definitely.
Use protection.
Yes.
Do all of that good stuff. And you should be great. I also want to point out that, like, you can get, like, I've known people who have got an STD on the first ever time that they've had sex.
Yeah. I know people that have as well. But, like, I know a lot of people that have gotten UTIs from, like, the first time they've had sex.
Yeah.
So, like,
because there's loads of stuff you can get having sex that isn't even STDs. You know, there's things like crabs and scabies and stuff like that, which aren't even STDs, and you can get those.
The thing is, there's no, like, proper sex education around this. So a lot of people don't really understand about how to, like, protect themselves. Yeah, exactly. So I think that needs to change. There needs to be a lot more of a kind of transparent conversation around what sex is like. And so people... we'll understand that an STD doesn't make you a whore. Like, you know. Because it doesn't at all.
I mean, because this person who wrote this in, I mean, we're almost like borderline making light of it. But, you know, they probably genuinely meant to ask this question.
Yeah.
They genuinely felt it.
Yeah.
And I think that in itself shows that, you know, we need more education and we need to talk about these things a little bit more.
Absolutely, yeah.
Normalisation. Very important thing.
Yes.
Okay, let's do the next one. After having sex with a dick, does it stay hard after... or go down? I'm a lesbian and I don't know what happens. Oh my God, I love this question.
Oh, wow.
I love this question because, like, it never would have occurred to me that somebody would have that question.
Yeah.
Because it seems so obvious to me because I have a penis and I know how it works.
Yeah. Well, I've been around many, so I've seen how it works.
I'm also aware yeah. of what happens. Okay, so let's each take it in turns to answer this question, because I wonder if we have different interpretations of this answer. So I would say it does stay hard for a very brief period afterwards. So I'd say it stays hard for like... maybe like 15, 20 seconds. And then it gradually starts to go down.
Yeah.
So it goes into this like semi phase where it's still quite big. And then I feel like it stays like that for a while. And then eventually goes back to normal.
Yeah, that's what I've noticed.
Yeah.
From staring at what's happening.
Very observant. Yeah. So let me just watch what happens here.
I've had a lot for a second. What's happening?
A lot of lesbians have been asking me questions about this.
But yeah, 100%. It stays hard for like a very small amount of time and then starts gradually going back down again. Like, yeah.
I like the middle stage. This feels like a very weird thing to say. On other people, I think the middle stage is very beautiful.
Oh, interesting.
I find it very attractive.
Like a semi?
Yeah, but not a before sex semi. It has to be an after sex semi. I feel like they're very different things. But I'm like, I'm attracted to that, and I'm like, this is useless. Like, I'm attracted to the thing that happens when they're no longer interested in sex.
You can just be attracted and just like, isn't this great?
Like, isn't this beautiful?
In that way, yeah.
Like a work of art.
Exactly.
Maybe I should paint one.
Do it.
Yeah.
No, don't.
I'll
take that back, actually. Sorry, everyone.
Absolutely terrible idea. Okay, would you like to read another one? You can take your pick.
Okay. I'm going to go for the next one. My boyfriend was a rebound hookup, so I could lose my bottom virginity. Now we've been together 11 years.
That's really lovely, actually.
11 years.
11
Jesus,
years.
That's a long relationship.
That's a long rebound.
Yeah, that's a long rebound. I was just like, that's a long relationship. You're like, rebound.
It's long, like, rebound usually, you know, a couple of days.
Yeah. Okay.
11 years is a
11 years is very, very long. That's amazing.
I think it's lovely. And I also do think, like, I'm making jokes about rebounds, but, like, you know, people always talk about, oh, you're out of a relationship, the next person you get with, like, that's not going to last. That's going to be a temporary thing.
Yeah,
that's not how dating works. Like, you never know what's going to happen. Every relationship, every dating situation is unique.
Exactly. And you need to stop, like, putting those judgments on people as well. Just being like, just because you're in a rebound, I'm going to tell you it's not going to work. Like, how cruel is that?
That's really cruel.
Right?
That is really cruel.
And it should be kind of like, yeah, you're seeing someone cool. Like, whatever. Actually, it's none of my business.
If you believe it's going to be a rebound as well, then it probably will be.
Yeah,
you know,
that's so true.
If you get that in your head, like, you're just going to sabotage it yourself.
Absolutely. That's so true. Yeah. But that's cute. I really like this.
That's really cute. And I also love that they lost their bottom virginity to this person in the rebound. Like, they were trying something new and then they've obviously fallen in love and now they've been together like 11 years.
What's your longest?
Six Ooh, years.
Three and a half.
That face you just did. That, I feel uncomfortable.
Six?
It's a long time. Yeah.
Wow.
I like came out and then like went into a relationship like the next day
and
then stayed in that relationship for 6 years. First gay person I ever met as well.
Oh, wow.
Like, so I was just like, any gay will do.
Yes,
there's
you,
one.
Come.
I lock him in. 6 years it went on.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I can't do long relationships, I don't think.
No.
It's not selling me very well. I am single. I'm very good at relationships.
Ready to mingle. Not very good at making them last. No. But I'm here and I'm willing to try. I hope none of our potential partners are listening to this show.
Oh, my God.
I feel
like fuck
we've really ruined
Oh, my God.
You know that mystery?
Unless they're like, oh, this is adorable. Like... No, that's not true.
Hope, but that's the
way you just looked at me. You're like, no, Sharon.
I mean, even I turned you down.
Which still hurts. And you just brought it up again.
Just opening those wounds. It's okay, because when you find your rebound,
true.
You can maybe that will last 11 years.
11 years, yes. Yeah.
Just 11, though. That's your lot.
Oh, okay.
Don't get greedy. I think we have time for one more.
Okay.
I love your reading voice, so would you do this one as well?
Okay. Last night, I slept over at a girl's house after a date, and I had to go to Primark to buy new clothes before going back into work.
Oh, classy.
I've done that.
Classy. Have you gone to Primark to buy...
before going into work. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I love that.
And I feel like when I was walking around getting new clothes at that time, I just felt like a lot of these people are doing the same thing. Like, I just looked around and be like, you haven't been home.
Is that what Primark's for?
I think so. I feel like it is. It's like emergency kind of shopping, isn't it? It definitely, I've done that.
I once had a situation. I went to the gym before I was going to meet a boy for a date because, I wanted that little pump and to feel confident and strong before the date. And I always say that somebody stole my underwear in the locker room. Probably didn't. I probably just lost them.
How?
They just disappeared. They were not there. The underwear were there. I went to the shower, came back from the shower. They were gone.
Okay, someone stole it.
Someone may have stolen my underwear. So I was like, what do I do? Do I go to the date commando? But then I was wearing really loose fitting jeans and had no belt.
Oh, no.
So I was like, what do I do? So I went to Primark, grabbed some underwear off the shelf, went into the changing rooms, put them on. And then I started walking. I was like, oh my God, these are way too small. And then, they were so small that it was painful. So, during the day, I kept having... it wasn't I'm just going to sit through this. It was I have to readjust. So, through the day, I kept, having to, fidget and readjust.
Oh, my God.
And he probably thought I was, some, weirdo with his hand in his pants.
So, the date didn't go well.
Didn't go well. All my
what
worst
I got from
dates
that story as well is that you put on the underpants and walked out. Did you buy them?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, no.
Because that's how I heard it. I was I went to the changing rooms, I put them on, I just walked out. I basically stole everyone.
No, I bought them first and then I went to the Primark changing rooms, put them on.
Okay.
Then I promise I'm not a thief. I promise. I'm not admitting to crimes on the radio. On that note, that brings us to the end of the show.
What?
So if people want to follow you and your magazine and everything that you are doing, how do they do that?
So on Twitter and Instagram, I'm Petrie Bojangles, which is a weird thing. Sorry.
Sure.
And then for my magazine, Burnt Rudy Mag on Insta and Twitter, and then Oh Queer Cupid on Twitter.
And the next Queer Cupid night is
3rd of September in King's Cross.
Amazing. I'm going to try and come.
Please do.
I think I'm free. I'm going to try and come.
It'll be so much fun.
Well, it's been amazing to have you on the show. You were such an incredible guest. And I'm going to play you out with a little bit of Tom Aspall. This is Back to Earth. See you later.
You've been listening to a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.